Welcome to this HFS videocast. I'm Mark Reed Edwards, VP of Digital Marketing at HFS. Today, we talk with two of the analysts behind the HFS One Office Services Top 10 on data and decisions, which was just released. Joining me are research leader Ritika Fleming and practice leader David Cushman. Ritika and David, welcome.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
Hi.
So Ritika, can you walk me through the HFS One Office Services Top 10, which is focused on data and decisions, and what exactly data and decision services are?
Yeah, absolutely. So we looked at data and decisions in this particular report as a, you know, special focus area. And what it really entails is, you know, looking across the data analytics, you know, life cycle of how this stuff is used in an organization, right? So we see service providers that we've evaluated in this report operating across that value chain of services, right? At the top end of it is a lot of advisory and strategic work involved with helping clients really think through what should their roadmap look like for analytics for the next few years. How should they be thinking about using data in their organizations? What are the key investments they should be making, you know, not just in their functions, but across the company to really take most advantage of this capability? Then you've got a lot of heavy lifting when it comes to data preparation, data management, you know, infrastructure investments to create data lakes, to enrich data, fix all of your gaps, create better data flows across, you know, your work streams. I feel like that's where a large proportion of organizations are still very much challenged and where we are on the maturity curve, right? But there's been a lot of advancements even in the, you know, coming from emerging technologies to help with data management in the last few years. So that's really helped adoption in some sense. You then look at data visualization and reporting. There's been this whole huge move towards self-service, right? When if you're a marketing manager or a supply chain manager, you should be able to go in and get the data that you need to do your job rather than submit tickets and requests out to IT, right? So if that's the concept, the organization should be enabling you with the tools to do that, intuitive, you know, interfaces that help you make sense of everything. Because not everybody's a data scientist, but you need to be comfortable with figuring out how to use, you know, insights for your job, right? And then there's this, you know, traditional sort of advanced analytics field where we see a lot of service providers have been investing in. The last, you know, 6-7 years, it's only gotten more and more important as, you know, enterprises get more mature on, you know, now we've got the data in place. We really need to figure out how do we use it to, you know, serve our customers better, to plan better in finance, make our supply chains, you know, tighter, more agile. And so now we get into the field of predictive analytics. You bring in machine learning, and that's you know, an exciting kind of continuously iterating, I would say, space. So that's really the value chain.
Yeah. So you kind of touched on this, but where do you think most enterprises are when it comes to data and decisions? They're early on, but you know, where in that maturity curve are they?
Yeah, it's I would say there is a small subset of Global 2000 organizations that are mature, that really treat data as an asset and a true strategic asset, are looking at initiatives like data monetization and exchanges and, you know, how does that impact their business model? Are there new revenue streams they could be exploring? But that's just a small subset. I would say for a lot of organizations, they've developed pockets of expertise, right? So a marketing function, for example, you know, has got their services partner in place. They've got a good in-house team of analysts, data scientists, and they're able to really get value out of investments in data and analytics to drive customer experience, right? But I would say on an enterprise level, we've still got a lot of work to do to bubble that up into capability across the company, right? So I think that's where a lot of companies are right now, trying to figure out, you know, how do we get out of those pockets of expertise into really a cross-functional, cross-enterprise foundational capability around data.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see it mature over time. That's the beauty of this. This is kind of a baseline, right? And we'll see it develop over time.
Yep. And the pandemic has only made things a lot more urgent. I think it's just no longer an option. Digital is no longer an option, and data is at the heart of that.
Yep. David, what did you see as the common thread when you looked at service providers?
Well, I think, just to reiterate what Ritika was just saying about this foundational layer, there's an awful lot of money being spent in this space. It's really now got to the point where it is mainstream to be spending large amounts on your data and preparing to make decisions with it. We do see, I think, quite a lot of it still at the earlier phases of that, as Ritika's pointed out. We look at the successful service providers in our top 10, I think the common themes are around, actually, a lot of them score quite well for their one office alignment. And so their internal alignment with our own thinking around one office, particularly when it comes to data and making sure that's running end to end in processes across organizations, they're scoring well for that. But they often that's self-scoring, right? So this is about telling their own stories of how they're doing this themselves internally. So they've got their heads aligned to doing the right thing. There's sometimes a gap between that and what they're delivering for clients. So that gap can vary from a couple of percentage points to 20 or 30. And what I mean by that is the gap between what the perception internally is for the organization of where they stand on that one office journey versus how much of their work is genuinely digitally transformative. And there's sometimes still quite a significant gap, which suggests they've still got a story to tell, about a work to do in telling the story of why data is important in the one office journey. That, I think, is consistent across the piece, even though they all score quite well for it. That gap is also consistent. The other things we see coming back from their customers, they really value the data expertise that they bring in, the technical prowess that they have, their problem-solving capabilities at scale, their understanding of their customers' businesses and particular process issues or technology gaps, an ability to deliver end-to-end at pace. I think our front runners have all proven that, particularly in the last couple of years, where that's been really essential. Real commitment to getting jobs done, getting the whole delivery up and running and making a difference as fast as possible. And that all comes down to excellence in program management, a genuine willingness to be flexible, good escalation processes and resolution procedures, and of course, in the first place, some strong thought leadership and willingness to innovate.
You mentioned the front runner. So can you tell me about some of the notable performances in the top 10?
Well, we've got a look at the top five. At the top, you've got Accenture. And I think their key differentiators are around making AI everyone's business at Accenture. That's been something that stands out for us. And I think it starts to stand out for the customer. IBM scored very well as well with their garage team. It's been with a combination of domain expertise and AI automation data. They're bringing all of that together and working closely with their customers to address issues. That stood out for us. We've got TCS, Infosys, and EXL rounding out the top five. I think it's nice to see EXL punching maybe above their weight there. Their differentiator was around domain focus, brilliance in BFSI and healthcare. But also, EXL, I think, score very well for their voice of the customer. So they're doing very well in getting their story across. And when they do deliver, their customers are very happy with it.
That's great. Well, thanks for this great discussion. I think it was a really good view into this top 10, Ritika and David. I really appreciate you joining us. You can read this top 10 at hfsresearch.com, along with all of our research and a growing library of videocasts just like this one. We'll see you on the next HFS videocast.